Influential leaders don't happen by accident. They have a consistent, clear message and know how to use their voice to deliver it. Such a good statement. And so, what qualities do you need to have an effective leader's voice? How can you boost your confidence and impact? Then listen to my chat with top podcaster and vocal leadership expert, Tina Dietz. Let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I met Tina Dietz online, and not only has she been in the podcasting space for so long, but one of her first podcasts, The Start Something Show, was named by Inc. Magazine as one of the top 35 podcasts for entrepreneurs. And the fact that she was an audiobook publisher, corporate podcast producer, and vocal leadership expert, I was like, ooh, this woman's so smart. And I really wanted to hone in on the vocal leadership expert. So welcome to the show, Tina.
Hey, Lindsay. You made me sound great and old. I love the combo. It's great. Yeah. I've been in podcasting.
I made you sound old? Oh, no.
So long. I've been in podcasting for so long. I'm an OG podcaster.
By so long, I mean like anything longer than 5 years.
I know what you mean. I just... Any opportunity to do a voice, I'm down. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. Hey, on your site, I was obviously going through it to learn more about you. And there was a sentence that you had on there that I was just like, ooh, you said influential leaders don't happen by accident. They have a consistent, clear message and know how to use their voice to deliver it. I was like, that
100%
is
true.
Yes. So good. Can you just to start off, I think this is a beautiful place to be. Can you kind of like elaborate that on what your mission is?
Our mission is to create more fantastic thought leadership that lifts up the entire planet. The idea is that if we work with enough leaders to help them hone their voice and get their message out into the world, we can be the good noise in the world, and have people have all this low-hanging fruit. Podcasting is low-hanging fruit. Audiobooks and print books are low-hanging fruit for people to start to change their lives. And when we have voices out there and we're granted this profound privilege of being a voice in somebody's ear, then we can lead in ways from afar. And we don't even know the impact that we're going to have. But if we don't know the impact we're going to have, then it's even more important for us to be intentional about what we're delivering. And our voices convey not only the words and meaning, but nuance and emotion and vibration and energy. And all of those things make it an incredibly powerful tool that, quite honestly, is universal across the globe.
Yeah. I agree. To me, it's like such a connector. When I see someone like video wise, obviously there's extra layers in that, but even hearing someone's voice and like intonation, and you could, like you said, you can hear their emotion. I find that it's easier to connect to someone or like repel and not connect.
Yeah. It's super intimate. Yeah. Very intimate.
Now you talk about vocal leadership. Now, what does that mean exactly?
Vocal leadership, in my definition of it, is quite literally leading through the voice. The voice is a tool. And I should say that when I'm talking about the voice, I'm talking about not just the instrument of your voice. I actually would call that your small V voice, the instrument you're playing, but your big V voice, which is the voice that you have on the inside. Or if you're me, you may have many voices on the inside. Lots of people I find could relate to that. But the if you imagine that you're a musician and I'm, you know, that the small V voice is the instrument you're playing, but the big V voice is the actual music. And that music, if I were to translate that into leadership terms, is our thoughts, our beliefs, what we embody as leaders. To become a virtuoso, you need to not only know how to play the instrument, you also need to know how to read the music and change the music so that you can change the intonation, you can change the intention, you can change the melody, you can change the harmony. So vocal leadership is really about learning how to become congruent with this external instrument that we have in delivering our voice and the internal beliefs, thoughts, mindset, intentionality, embodiment that is coming through our voices. And I should also say this isn't just about speaking, but about how we communicate overall. So our voices really translate into writing. It translates into all modalities that we have media-wise or different ways to express ourselves.
That makes sense. And I feel like you said, with the small V and the big V, but I feel like there's so many layers to that, that I think when people say, oh, like share your voice or like voice leadership, because there are so many layers, there can be myths or misconceptions about what that means. Like for me, I feel like the words that you say, how you deliver it, how you communicate, the sound of your voice, like there's just like so many little bits and pieces. And like you said, it's not just on stage. Like, are there skills that we can improve so that we can become vocal leaders?
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole body of work around vocal leadership, both, again, the external side of things and the internal pieces of it. And it's interesting to me because I like to start with the external because it usually leads us to the internal rather than digging around in somebody's psyche. To start for, which is interesting because I started my career as a therapist. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur. Yeah, but I'm a therapist by training, which is one of the reasons that vocal leadership has been a body of work that I have been involved with and developed and over the years, because it can be really challenging to view leadership as something that is clinical. Right. Like, tell me about your mother. How do you feel about that? Like, it's like, oh God, no, please don't make me talk about that. You know, it just gets so tiring to constantly be working on yourself all the time. And we as leaders, we experience that fatigue, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of fatigue when it comes to just developing yourself as a person and as a leader. So when we can bring a little bit more delight, a little bit more play, and a little more freedom into just how we express ourselves. And that's why I like to first get people into playing with the voice in areas that they might be more comfortable, or move them into places that in a safe space where it's just, you know, just you and me hanging out, that we might be able to increase a range of vocal expression. You know, so many folks, and men deal with this more than women do. Men tend to be indoctrinated to have less musicality in their voices, less vocal range of expression. Less emotional expression in their voice. And women tend to get all of the emotions that's okay for them to express through their voice, except anger.
Right?
There's always that piece. So how can we normalize all this beautiful range of human emotion being expressed through the voice? And there's a lot of work to be done in how we tell our stories as well. Storytelling isn't, there's so many facets to storytelling. That's probably a whole other conversation.
That it is, right? I know. So do you find that, speaking or like using our actual voice, A, the sound of it, but B, also like how you communicate, like, I feel like it doesn't always come naturally to people.
That's true.
And I think it can really hold people back to start a podcast or guest on podcasts because they might feel self-conscious. Do you find that the case, and how do you turn that around for people?
Oh, all the time. I mean, anytime I get up in front of a room of people and I'm speaking, I almost always ask the question, who here does not like the sound of their own voice? And if it's a room full of, let's say, executives or corporate or something like that, over 80% of the room raises their hands.
Holy.
But even in a room full of podcasters, professional speakers, it's still over half the room. it's one of those things, and it's very natural to not like the sound of your own voice, because what we hear in our head and what we hear on a recording doesn't sound the same because of the resonance in our skulls. You have to get used to it. You literally have to just listen to yourself until it becomes normal for you. And so I think that having to get to a point where you're totally in love with your voice is not a standard we want to go for, because even actors, if you listen to a lot of professional actors, A-list actors, a lot of them don't watch their own work back.
I know, eh?
Because it's hard to watch yourself, or it's hard to listen to yourself. So you have to have a little bit of faith and trust your coaches, trust your colleagues, surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth, but also be kind.
Yeah.
Agreed. At the same time. And that's how we learn, and that's how we grow. And I had a mentor once who told me, you know, sometimes you just got to suck until you suck less. And if you can.
It's so true.
Advice. So you're not going to be great maybe at first and anything that we do, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Do it anyways.
Do it anyways. And take the coaching. I mean, we don't want to be out there just rambling. And at the same time, it's not going to be perfect. So we're just going to find some middle ground in there to be okay.
Yeah. Are there any like vocal qualities that are like trust or credibility killers, or that like turn people off?
Oh yeah. There's the research on this is really interesting.
Oh.
The number one vocal quality that's associated with trust and credibility is the tempo of your voice. But it's not having a particular tempo. It's sounding like your tempo is the right one for you. And what that means is that we as human beings are listening subconsciously to breathing.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. So when we are anxious, our breathing gets faster. And we start to break off our sentences more, and we start to get this kind of breathy quality, and we sound a little bit like we're out of breath, right? And I have to speak quite fast to sound like I'm getting out of breath, because I'm originally from New York and I talk fast. but if, you know, somebody from a much slower natural cadence, if they start going too fast, we feel like they're anxious. And somebody who has a fast, or actually anybody who sounds like they're going too slow, and some people have a beautiful slow delivery and they just draw you in with that slow delivery, and it almost becomes ASMR, you know, kind of thing. But if you get slow and your breath starts to sound kind of halting, and like you start to break things up, and they get slow, or there's big pauses, now it starts to sound like you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So the natural tempo that you have, where you are just speaking and you're in your zone and you're in your flow and you know, kind of embodied who you are, that's where people feel the best. And so that's why it's the associated, the quality most associated with credibility and trustworthiness.
Yeah.
That but there's a bunch more. There's a bunch more. There's fascinating research on it. I wrote an article for Forbes on it some years ago, and I can make that available to folks.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I love how you kind of, you paint a picture with your voice tone. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
See, everybody's heard those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Sure.
Is it important to, like, again, you want to invoke authority and confidence. Are there things that we should or shouldn't do in our actual voice, but also our communication style?
Communication style is, it's interesting because it needs to be natural to you.
True, true.
And a lot of times, as particularly as leaders, but really anybody, we often feel like we can't bring our whole selves to our work. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the biggest set of questions that I end up asking people is, where are you holding back? Where are the parts where you're concerned to be seen? And can you bring more of yourself out? How can we do this even incrementally? Because sometimes going from, you know, corporate stockbroker and very straight-laced guy to, you know, hey, I'm wearing crystals and, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, suddenly they're just almost seem like a completely different person. That can be a little jarring, even for the person doing that.
Yeah.
So we dive into it in ways that feel comfortable and just start to push the envelope a little bit more until you can bring more of yourself to what you're doing. And it's really a matter of normalizing yourself to yourself, which sounds kind of funny, but sometimes we have to get used to ourselves being a certain way in an environment that we like a work environment where we may have indoctrinated ourselves or just gotten used to being not all of ourselves for so long. And some environments aren't super friendly to that.
Yeah.
So that's why we also, there's multiple factors to take into consideration to keep people, psychological safety is kind of our first order of the day. And then we kind of build things out from there because we don't have that. We don't have a sense of belonging to ourselves. It's very hard to make changes in who we are or what we do or to get our voice out in a bigger way or step forward as leaders onto a bigger platform with the thought leadership side of things. Thought leadership is all about shifting, changing, adding new thought to an industry or a profession. So to be out there and saying, you know what? I think we should be doing it this way. And here's why can feel very risky. So we've got it. You have to have that strong core. And I don't mean physically, I mean, mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
to work from as a stable base.
I love that. I feel like it needs a lot of confidence and a lot of, like you stand by your thoughts and your beliefs and a stoic, maybe the word, I don't know what the word is, but really unshakable. Secure in your thoughts.
Yeah. You need to be to one extent or another unshakable
in
your understanding of who you are and what you stand for. Like you said, your beliefs, your values. And you know, who among us hasn't experienced shame and embarrassment and then questioned ourselves after the fact going, is it me? Do I need to change? You know, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But that's why having colleagues or you know, people supporting us who can reflect those things back to us or, you know, help create that stable base can be really, really helpful as we're extending ourselves out as leaders.
Yeah. Totally been there, and I had a mastermind, and just to have that support and like, no, you are on the right track, like stop second guessing yourself and so forth. And
exactly,
you know, getting all those pointers. So where does your messaging come in? So, okay, we've talked about voice. We've talked about like communication style, obviously confidence. To be a vocal leader, I don't know whether, like, what should we do when it comes to message? Are there mistakes? Are there, like, you obviously have to know your own message.
and our message is always evolving. So I think the biggest mistake is thinking that you're ever going to be done with that.
True.
Because if we're not learning, we're not leading.
Yeah.
You know, the college professor who hasn't learned anything new in 20 years.
Oh yeah. You can tell.
Right. Or the corporate leader who's stuck in the 90s or the, you know, I can't believe I'm saying the 90s now. Like, wait, I was just in the 90s, but no, I wasn't. But you know, saying, you know, well, you know, that's pretty 1995, dude. We've got to evolve. We've got to move on from that. So that's really the biggest mistake that we can make. So being curious is the antidote for that kind of stagnation, being really curious. And the beautiful thing about curiosity is we can engage curiosity no matter if we feel great or we feel like crap.
Yep.
When you feel like crap, you might not be able to get to happy, but you might be able to get to curious. And because curiosity lives in a different part of the brain than other emotions. It's more That's associated fair. With things that are related to our survival, more things that are associated with not attached so much to happiness or sadness or anger or pain or grief. It's a very neutral type of emotion. Yeah.
To me, curiosity is, it's exciting, like to learn something new, add to your arsenal, or just a different perspective. Like for some people find it scary learning new things. I it gets me going. Like I find it exciting. So I guess it kind of like, does your personality type affect your leadership style?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can be a quiet leader. You can be a loud leader. You can be a more assertive leader. You can be someone who really leads from, you know, boosting other people up and almost doesn't really come to the foreground. That is all of those, any type of leadership is valid in how we lead. As a matter of fact, bringing forward quieter, more internally processing types of leaders is something that we need more of because we need more voices at the table.
Yeah.
And as we continue to become more knowledgeable about bringing a diversity of leaders to the table, we have to know that they're not always going to look or sound like leadership has in the past.
Right.
Right. A lot of times leadership in the past has sounded like command and control or being the loudest voice in the room. And that is just not what we need right now as humanity. We need neurodiverse voices. We need the voices of folks who are experiencing mental, emotional, physical challenges in some area. And they're still leaders.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We lead from within. And I'm so excited to see younger leaders coming through because they are not generally afraid to speak truth to power. You know, Gen Z in particular, my experience with my team and the mentors, the interns and things we've had at the company, I love that they're willing to speak truth to power. And we're going to see change in the workplace, in thought leadership, in entrepreneurship as a result. And I'm here for it.
I love it. Yeah. Speaking like the truth or speaking up really does not come naturally to me. But so when other people are not afraid to like stand up and put their stake in the ground, it's like, I'm just like, yes. Like I wish I had more gumption, but I'm working on it.
And yet here you are lifting up other leaders and bringing more voices to the table.
True.
You are leading, and you're adding your own opinion, your voice. You're the one who gets to choose the questions. What more powerful position is there than that?
Good point. Your perspective. Yeah. If you change your perspective, it changes your view on kind of where you're at. I love that.
Damn straight.
How do you work with your clients then in, cause I know you've got some vocal leadership training. Like, where does that fit in regards to speaking and podcasting, and how does that work?
Well, my company, Twin Flame Studios, has two major components.
Right.
One is nonfiction audiobooks, full service publishing, production, distribution. And the other is podcasting for thought leaders of various kinds. And so it really depends on what the client or what the leader coming to the table wants to have. And most of the folks we work with are quite accomplished in what they're doing. They're already moving the needle in their industry and they're looking for ways to do more. So the majority of our clients are coming to produce an audiobook with us. And it's generally these types of principles are infused in what we're doing with the clients. A lot of times they don't even know that that's what's happening, but it's in how we direct audiobooks and what we ask our author narrators to do, because we're most known in the industry for being able to remotely record audiobooks with authors from anywhere in the world and to pull these performances out of them that they didn't even know that they could do. So that's what we really kind of infuse into our practices. And then with podcasting, because we're working longer with the clients over time and with the hosts, we can give them feedback on what they're doing. We can add additional sessions to talk about these different vocal factors and where they want to improve. If you want to start exercising your voice, like you exercise your body, you can change some of the things about your voice. You can shift your tonality. You become, yeah. you can increase different facets of your voice. You can get smoother in your delivery. Whatever it is that you want to be doing, some folks, it's really just a matter of embracing the type of voice that they have and learning how to appreciate it.
True.
And sometimes it's a matter of how do you host well? How do you ask questions? How do you look at an episode and how to craft an episode so that it does create a story or create a conversation depending on the type of show?
Yeah. I love it. Any lasting words for those that are looking to boost their authority and their influence and they're just kind of not sure?
In relationship to boosting your confidence and your influence, which are two very different things, but if you want to increase your confidence, then I would start just practicing with your voice more. Do vocal exercises, breathing exercises in particular. Look, tongue twisters are another great way to practice your voice. Speak out loud more often. And yeah. So this is full permission to talk to yourself. Something I do all the time. And I would say, you know, do a little research or get a little mentoring on the topic, whether it's one-on-one or it could be something like a storytelling group out in your community, mm-hmm. or even an improv class or something that might stretch you a little bit in lowering the filters that you automatically put on yourself yeah. when you're speaking, but it's totally separate from your business. So it's not going to have the same kind of pressure.
And I imagine all these skills obviously affect your podcast, but it'll affect your business, your confidence, and just how you show up in the world. It would transform, you know, transfer into other areas of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Because our voices are so universal to everything that we do. Yeah. We've seen some of our authors produce their audiobook and, you know, change the way that they were doing vocal presentations in other areas.
Amazing.
I've worked with podcasters who may have had a breakthrough in how they were hosting a show and then changed the way that they were communicating with one of their kids. These things come out of nowhere. Yeah. It all, like you said earlier, when you shift the way the lens looks or you shift the context, then it can impact all different kinds of things.
I love it. And this is why I love podcasting. There's so many different nuances that we can just hone in and better our delivery and impact more people and make a bigger difference. Yeah. I find it so exciting.
Me too.
Yeah. So how can people find you?
You can find me and my company, Twin Flame Studios, at twinflamesstudios.com. Those are both plural. We have all the S's. And if you want to download more information on vocal leadership, we do have what we call our vocal leadership workout, which has some of these vocal exercises. It's a free download. And you can find that at twinflamesstudios.com/vocal leadership. And some good stuff there to help you on that journey.
I'll check it out. We all have room for improvement. And so, never turn a good tip away.
Me neither.
Thank you so much for joining me. I've just loved this topic and great conversation.
Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.